All right, I want this morning to continue along this theme. I'm reading from Isaiah 43. The 43rd chapter of Isaiah. And you will see in the closing words of chapter 42 that he's speaking to those that don't lay things to their heart. I don't know whether you've really laid this truth to your heart, but it's to you that he's speaking. And of course, if you don't lay it to your heart, you will never be in the reality of it. All right, he says, you haven't laid it to your heart, but I want to tell you I've laid it to mine. Now you listen to me, says the Lord, that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. I like this lordship of the Lord. I like this blessed one. I like this kind of treatment. I like this language. Bless God. Keep on talking, Lord. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. What's he talking about? He's going to bring them to himself, and he says, you're going to go through rivers. You're going to come through fire. But I'm going to have you. Praise God. He's warning them beforehand. What's going to happen? See, we like to take this verse out of its context, really. It's such a loving verse, and the truth of God is true anywhere. But praise the name of the Lord. This is what he's telling them. I've made up my mind. I've redeemed thee. So, there it is. If you want to avoid it, you'd better get up and go now. He says, I've made up my mind about it. God has laid this thing to his heart, beloved. He's laid it to his heart. Before ever he suffered a man to take up a pen and write a book, as I was saying last night, all his words are bathed in the blood, the anticipation of the bloodshed of his son, to make good the things that Father has said. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. What are these compared with thee? Hallelujah. Praise God. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. Praise God. This is what it says in Ephesians chapter 4. That when he rose from the dead, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. And he gave some men, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for you. Amen. I'll give men for your life. Praise the name. I redeemed thee, says the Redeemer, the blessed Jesus, the glorious risen one, as this thing is applied in the eternal truth. unfailing and unvarying spiritual principle, whether it be applied to God's ancient people in its relationships thereto. The same principle inspired God, whether he was creating a world or creating an Israel or creating a church. The application of the principle has differed only. That is all. I give men for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather them from the west. And so you see the missionary urge is in it. Hallelujah. It's all here. Glory be to God. I'll bring them. So some of you men have got to go east and west and north and south. He's wanting to give some men. Any volunteers? Well, know this, that God doesn't send volunteers. Nobody can volunteer to serve God. He chooses. It's an unavoidable principle. When it's in your heart, you've got to go. You should hear the people that plead with me to stay in England. You've got to go. Amen. There's no choice about it. If the church sinks or swims in England, you've still got to go to India, China, Timbuktu. That's up to God. He knows. Hallelujah. I'm not staying on this. I want to carry on. We've not yet reached the whole point of it. I will say, praise God, I'll say to the north, give up. Fancy the north. The Bible's an unexpected treasure, isn't it? But here is one who's dealing in abstracts. I'll say to the north. What's that? He can deal in abstracts. Praise the name of the Lord. The same principle. He is the authority in every realm. And he says, I'll say to the north, give up. And to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far. And my daughters from the ends of the earth. Ooh, come on, you men. Can't you hear it? This is a command to you. Go and bring them. You say, what, from the north? Yes, I'll speak to the north. Say, from the south? Yes, I'll talk to the south. And when God's voice is heard at the north, at the south, and the east and the west, or at the equator, or in the middle of the earth, everything gives up. When he speaks to death, it gives up. When he spoke to the large fish, he gave up. Jonah, bless God. Praise the name of the Lord. This is the way. And when he speaks to your heart, give up. Come on, give up. Let's move in. Everyone that's called by my name, here's the point, for I have created him for my glory. That's right. And God's going to have it too. He's not going to lose one scrap of glory. He's going to have it all. Blessed be his name. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. The only trouble with these people is that they've got eyes, but they're blind. Bring them forth. Verse 8. They've got ears, but they're deaf. Bring them forth. Let all the nations be gathered together. Let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses, that they may be justified. Or let them hear and say, it is truth. You are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord. Praise God. I'd like to go on reading that. But all I've said hitherto has been an introduction to what I want really to say to you. And in the context of all this wonderful ministry from the pen of Isaiah comes this marvelous truth that God has redeemed us, and you may not have laid this to your heart properly as you should. Alas, I talk to many people and have done so already this morning of those who out of the background of their spiritual culture or denominational life have heard things so that they've never really been brought under the power of the Spirit of the living God, so that things should be laid to their hearts in the manner that God says they should be laid to the heart. How did you this morning, my friend? Did you lay to your heart that God says he's going to give men and they've got to go north and south and east and west? Have you laid it to your heart? Or are you dreaming away in dreams and visions of glory? The real thing that God is after. What's that? More glory. That's why he's called you. Amen. And more glory for God, bless him, means more people in glory. That's right. That's what it's all about. And this is the way he does it. To share the fullness and wonder of his love. And he says, I've redeemed you. And you're going to come, praise God, you're going to pass through the rivers. You're going to go through the fires. Don't talk about being afraid or getting drowned or being burned. Amen. If you go through the rivers first and then you go through the fire, you'll only steam. And God will bring you out of watery baptisms into the fiery baptism. The baptism of fire has superseded the baptism in water. Glory be to the name of the Lord. And when you're in the fire, you won't get burned, you'll just get consumed. That's a bigger thing. And the Lord is going to do tremendous things and bring you into the wonder of his love. I have loved thee. Verse 4. I'll give men for thy life. I'm going to do everything. I've created these people for my glory. Now, beloved, you're a fit vessel for glory. Yes, you are. Look at yourself, pinch yourself if you like, make sure you're wide awake, whatever else you do. And know that you are created for the glory of God. Go with me a moment into the Roman letter. And in that lovely ninth chapter, it says this. Verse 22. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he hath afore prepared unto glory, even us. Amen. Prepared unto glory. Amen. Did you know that everything that's been going on in your life up to this moment of time has been to prepare you for glory? I don't mean dying and going to heaven. Particularly, I mean living. the living glory. Everything's been a preparation for it. If I gave you 5 minutes now to cast your mind back over your life, it's all been a preparation for glory. Unless, of course, you're in the glory already, and you're really there, and the glory's come, and He wants to make known the riches of His glory in us that He's called. Amen. Let's read the next verse. It's a marvelous one. Not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles, as He saith also in Hosea, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. Amen. And this then, beloved, is the whole point. It is the acme. It is the crowning thing of all, that we are to have the glory of God. We've been created for His glory. Amen. Hallelujah. You, in yourself, that was once a vessel of wrath, now a vessel of His mercy, and beyond His mercy, specially loved, and that you in all your personality, in every characteristic and thing of you, every niche and every cranny, every fold of your being, every thing of your imagination, everything about you, glorified by the living Christ. Amen. Not crawling up to heaven, a miserable lot of offenders, groaning and groping for the light, but brought to that place of freedom from sin, liberty in the things of your Father's house whilst you live on this earth, knowing the glory of God in every part of you. Oh, what a wonderful thing this is. He's called you His beloved. With that, I would want you to turn with me into the Gospel according to John. When the Lord Jesus was manifest on the earth, John had one thing to say about Him. You know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we, what did you see, John? We beheld His glory. That's what we beheld. Amen. Now, knowing John, I know John very intimately. I live with old John, bless God. I have great fellowship with John. And I would have expected him to say, we beheld His love. You see. He says, we beheld His glory. What's that? That's love just radiating out uninhibitedly, not behind a veil, right out there in its glorious, expansive fullness, shining in and through unhinderedly, through a personality. That's glory. Love, being all it wants to be and doing all it wants to do, is glory. Amen. Not holding anything back. God just being, doing, living. That's glory. You'll see when you get to heaven. And he says, we beheld his glory. The glory. And in the Greek, I want to take the Greek here, not in any way to take away from what the translators wanted to put here for us. Because you have the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. But the Greek really is as of an only begotten with a Father. Amen. They saw this one, and at that time they did not know he was the only begotten of the Father. They didn't know that they saw, and what they saw, they were being absolutely honest. What can we say about this man? Oh, he was just like an only begotten with a Father. Amen. As though the Father had showered everything upon one human personality. That's the thing that they're talking about. Now, that's what we saw. Amen. As surely as we are here this morning, that is what the world is still needing to see. A man that walks with Father as an only begotten of a Father, with every grace and power endued, with all fullness, with sin dealt with in his life, that he can radiate forth any time in secret or in public. He can speak on any subject that is necessary, that he can move in what God wants him to move. He can utterly be what Father wants him to be, and he can fulfill all that the Father wants him to fulfill. Oh, beloved, this is why we have to be changed from glory to glory as we come into greater liberties and greater measures of his glorious love in our hearts, and newer confidence, a wonderful way of living and moving amongst men. This is the thing that God wants us to understand. But we are to have it. Amen. If I said to you to repeat the idea that was in Norman's suggestion earlier, have you really been abiding in the glory all night? When I went to bed, I heard somebody shouting, glory. I thought, well, somebody's going to be in some trouble tonight. They're going to be in some trouble tonight. When people were really in the glory, they were going to upset someone somewhere. I reckon there must have been some complaints about it, have there? There you are, you see. That was a good guess. You see. Yes, it was as sure as anything. Once you know the ways of human nature, you know that glory upsets people. Yeah, that's right. If other people aren't in it, they can't stand that. They want to go to sleep. You see, there it is. So, well, it's quite right. It's quite human. It's quite natural. Want to be considerate. You know, that's absolutely right. But I'm just telling you the fact. They just can't put up with it. And so God moves on us. He wants to bring us into the glory and the fullness and the power and the grace of God. And are you still in it this morning? We're going to look into this book then, and we're going to see how dearly and how wonderfully the Lord Jesus himself sought this thing for you. Into the 13th chapter then, which you know, introduces us to the last few days of his earthly life. And there, as they take, as we say, the Lord's Supper, and he is speaking, Jesus comes to this man, Judas Iscariot, whose hand is with him on the table. And he gives Judas the sop. And Judas goes out, verse 30, having received the sop, that is, the bread dipped in the wine. He went out, and it was night. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I'm with you. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. I can't stay with you much longer, children. I can't stay with you. The vision of the glory had filled his soul. He had been taken over despite the treachery of one of his close apostles, one of his very chosen. Despite his treachery, a man who's not laid it to heart. He is filled with this great, glowing wonder in his heart. Yet a little while, I'm with you, little children. Oh, he's got a great, great urge and desire. And you know the tremendous outworking of this. It goes through 14 and 15 and 16. And then we come to the great prayer in the 17th chapter. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Now, beloved, listen. When a man knows that his hour is come, he talks truth. If you knew that your hour had come, if you'd never been honest and true in your life before, you'd start talking. If you talked, you'd start praying when you prayed. The great, basic, fundamental realities of life. That's what you do. The hour's come. Come on, man, talk truth now. Talk truth. If ever he who said he was and still is, of course, the truth. If ever a man spoke truth, it was Jesus then. Listen to him. The hour has come, Father. What's his first great word? Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Amen. You see, his first word wasn't, Thou hast come, Father, oh, save all these souls. You see that? Oh, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son. Mind you, he could really pray a prayer like that. For he says in verse 4, I have glorified thee on the earth. I finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Nobody glorifies God on the earth unless they finish the work God's given them to do. The great trouble is that you can have a John 2 experience and have a flashing manifestation forth of glory in a miracle, but you've got to have the glory of a finished work. Not a spasmodic miracle. That could be a show off of power. And you could become a very, very deflated human being after that. The tremendous truth is that he says, Oh, Father, I have glorified thee on the earth. I finished the work that thou didst give me to do, and now I'm coming to thee. I'm going to be changed from glory to glory. Now, O Father, verse 5, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Amen. Praise God. We used to sing a hymn to that tune, Blind Worm, when I was in the Baptist church, and it had a verse in it which went like this. Haste then on from grace to glory, armed by faith and winged by prayer. God's eternal days before thee, God's own hand shall guide thee there. It hadn't quite reached the heights of glory that some hymns by a notable writer write, but nevertheless, it's a tremendous and wonderful thing. And Jesus was hastening on now, hastening on. Little children, I'm only a little time with you now. He'd already established, as it were, the cross. He'd broken the bread and poured the wine. It was only yet in symbol. But there it was. He rallied them round his broken body and his poured out blood, as it were, in that room. And he said, Oh, Father, let's have a look at it. It's a burning urge in his soul. I'm in the 13th chapter. Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself. You've got to be glorified in yourself. You have to be glorified in yourself. You know, it's easy to float on eagle's wings on the tides of glory that's gushing up from another person's heart. Especially if about a couple of hundred of them all shouting out. That's marvelous. But to be really glorified in yourself. Oh, really? When love has run through your being, when power has come and fire is there, even the real fires that purify your being while they burn and set you free from yourself and bring you out from under the damnable dominance of your own mind and bring you into the Spirit of God, so that God's Spirit is having his way in you, away from the carnal mind of the curse that brings you back into yourself and damps everything and destroys everything and is the way in for the devil to torment and toss you and bind you and bring you face to face with your past, the inescapable awfulness of it. Oh, bring you down so that you take the modest position of saying, I can't have this, and self-pity comes in floods over the top of self-deception, and down you go to self-destruction, because you won't believe the Word of God, nor let the Spirit of God lay it to your heart. God is moving. You are going to be glorified in yourself. Here, let's go back into that 17th chapter. He says, Oh, Father, the hour's come. I've said goodbye to my friends, little children. I'm only going to be with you a little while now. Oh, and he says, the hour's come, Father. Come. Glorify thy Son. Glorify me in myself, Father. That thy Son also may glorify thee. I want you to notice that this passage is one whole passage, 1, 2, and 3. There should be no verse divisions. It's one of the worst things the people that carved up our Bibles ever did. Now let's keep it up. The hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. You see, he's praying to be glorified by his Father, that he may glorify his Father in this realm of authority that he's been given from his Father to give eternal life to men and women. This was the great glorification, that he should give eternal life to as many as Father gives him. Can't you hear, Father? Now then, north, give up. South, keep not back. Go on, you men. Father's wanting to give multitudes to Jesus. Multitudes of them. I'll deal with the elements. I'll deal with conditions. I'll deal with the abstracts and the concrete. I'll deal with the ifs and the buts and the possibilities and impossibilities. I'll deal with everything. Amen. He'll even deal with your heart if you'll let him this morning. Everything. Because Jesus is glorified. He's gone back into that glory, and he's glorified with the glory that he had with his Father before the world was. Amen. What a glory that is. Love receiving love back. Love receiving love back multiplied. Can it be multiplied? Yes, he's the great forerunner of the multiplied millions of lovers who are going to come back to God through his blood, utterly redeemed. The forerunner of the elect host, the sons that are coming to glory. Amen. And Father's calling them. The call's out. The call isn't the word. The call is the Spirit gone out. The Spirit in power. The Spirit to deal with men and women. The Spirit to mold them, draw them, bring them through the floods, through the fires. It's more than words. It's a movement you can't escape. It's a hold you cannot break. It's a grip that never slips. It's that which God lays on men and women to bring them up into the place where they can be none other than glorious with the glory of God. That's what it is. Amen. Praise his name. He's gone up to glorify. Oh, he's gone up to glorify us. And he says this in verse 10, all mine are thine, Father, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Don't you see? In whom was the Father glorified? In the Son. In whom is the Son glorified? Can't you say me? See, I'm glorified in them. You should all have jumped up and said, me! Me. Well, is he? Is he? Praise the name of the Lord. You see, if we go back into the great seventh chapter, you all know this one. This is, you have to preach on this on the last day of a conference. It says in verse 37 of chapter 7, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst. You see, as I said last night, people are seeking glory. They don't know they're seeking glory. All right, let's say this morning, they're all thirsty, but they don't know what they're thirsting for. If any man thirsts, come to me. Amen. That's the one they're thirsting for. Praise him. So he stands right up. He knows this. This is why he's not troubled and feeling self-conscious. about standing up in the middle of the feast. He knows that all these men that are going through their horrible ritual of incense swinging and psalm chanting and saying, Lord, bless this corner of our vineyard. Yeah, that are going through it all the time. He knows they're really thirsting for him, but they don't know they're thirsting for him. Amen. You're thirsting for the ideal. You're thirsting for perfection. You're thirsting for glorification. You're thirsting for all the wonderful fullness that you know somehow you ought to have in you as a human being. Somehow you feel that coming into this world has given you the right to it. It's this stupid idea that gives the young generation the thought that the government owes them something or something like that because they've been brought into the world. Poor government. Don't blame them. You have been born, and this inborn thing in you that's inexplicable, and you cannot work it out, and it's irrational, and it works out down to the lowest deceptive, perverted, twisted depths. It's all that somehow yet deep down in there the devil's never been able to erase this terrible, this great, great urge and thirst. That in all humankind, it's him you need. Bless God. He stands right up in the midst then. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If there had been a table, he would have stood on it, I suppose. But he wasn't ready to stand on the altar yet. So he stands down on the floor. And he says, if anybody's thirsty, come to me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture says, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Now do you see why he wanted to be glorified? When he went back to the Father and love embraced, if you like, and squeezed those two wonderful persons together to be back there in that wonderful being, I mean the human coming back, out flowed the blessed Spirit of the glory of it all. The wonder of love consummated. The glory of heaven receiving back his own. The Holy Ghost comes forth. What for? To give you the eternal life that he was authorized of the Father to give, and took it as an honor to leave the glory and come down here on this earth and be crowned at last with the very curse of the earth and the thorns in the mind. You might know total redemption unto Jesus Christ, to be glorified with the glory wherewith he's been glorified with the Father, that he may be glorified in you. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. He's glorified when he can get in another human personality and be in that being and transform that person into a wondrous one, like a son with a father, in the heredity, in the line of the son. He's glorified. That's more to him than 1,000,000,000 heavens or 10,000,000 golden thrones. Live in you and remove from you, expunge from you, cast out from you, make impossible to live in you anything that's contrary to your eternal good, and enable you to live on this earth as Jesus lived on it, and finally come up with the word, now the hour's come, Father, I finish the work thou gavest me to do. God grant that if ever I have a dying moment, and a conscious hour to cry, I shall be able to say, Father, I've glorified thee on the earth. I've finished the work God gave me to do, thou gavest me to do. Some people tell me it's preaching. Some people tell me I should stop in England. Some people say come to America, India. I got Canada added yesterday. Somebody says you've got to write books. That's what you've got to do. You've got to get it into print. That's this precious truth. It's got to go into print. And so here it goes. But blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. We've got to finish the work God's given us to do. If you finished all the work that men gave you to do, you'd die. If you finish the work God gives you to do, you live in glory. Amen. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. He wants to glorify you. This is it. That's why he wanted to be glorified, so that he could send the Holy Ghost. Nothing selfish about it. She says, I want these men that you've given me to be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou gavest me before the foundation of the world. Oh, Father, he says. And they're listening to it. They're listening to him praying. Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Liberty in the eternal love, freedom, clenched home and held hard in the center of that glorious love. Oh, the glory while the endless ages roll. Oh, the wonder. Oh, the perfection and the purity. Dost thou know it, friend? Dost thou know the glory of God in thy bowels? If not, how shall the living waters run from thy belly? How shall they? Oh, praise God. Amen. The hour has come, he says. The hour has come. Blessed be the name. Let me ask you this morning. Do you know your hour's come this morning? Your hour's come. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What are you going to say? Father, glorify me. Glorify me, Father. Glorify me. Glorify me in myself. I want not another's glory. I want the glory that thou givest me. That's what I want. Well, you can't have it unless you know this mighty baptism, this engulfment into life eternal as it is in the original God. As it is, and was sent forth from the Father onto this earth in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. This is that eternal life which God gives to all who will come to him, as he calls to the north and calls to the south, and his call goes out in power of spirit, that it stops not at the mind or the eardrums of a man or a woman, but gets hold of his inward self, that he finds the irresistible pull of eternity around him, and his being starts to go all along, and the bondages are broken, and the chains fall off, and the sins begin to pale upon the vision. And a man wants to be what God wants him to be, and he comes out of doctrines and troughs He comes out of everything and he moves as God wants him to move, as a man only can be moved when he's moved in the Spirit, by the Spirit. Glory, 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 glory be to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's been glorified. He's been glorified. And he says, I'm looking in John 17. I think regularly every time we've been to Cliff, I've preached on this chapter sometime or another. I'm always getting new and glorious truth out of it. How wonderful it is. And he says, oh Father, in verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world, and for their sakes I sanctify myself. You see, beloved, he got to the place now where he sanctified himself unto this alone, that he should give eternal life to as many as the Father had given him. Glory be to the name of the Lord. He sanctified himself unto that, even though it be a cross that sanctifies me, even though it be sacrifice that sanctifies me. And what better to sanctify you utterly unto God than that outlandish thing? Bring you to this place. Ah, I'm separated unto this Father. You see, he said it earlier in the prayer. Little children, I'm not going to be long with you now. His heart was outstripping his body. His spirit was forerunning to take the other spirits with him. And he moved across time unto this, that he should be glorified and sanctified himself to this. Amen. And he never spoke another word to his disciples after this prayer. One silent look at a man named Peter, as the curse rose upon the lips of the apostle. Yes. Amen. The next time he spoke was just the cross. Son, behold your mother. Mother, behold your father. He never really spoke to them, save little, you know, just tarry here while I go a little further. He really finished. He sanctified himself unto this, my beloved. My beloved, let's go back to Isaiah 43. Let's take the words of God. Let him bear his heart to you. Will you lay it to your heart? Fear not. I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Not mine. Do you know what he's called you? Do you know the name he's called you? Eh? Do you know the name he's called you? The church. It's a composite name. Church, Israel, a composite name, inclusive of all the people. I've called thee by thy name. Church. The bride, my my body, my other self, my real self, my bones, my flesh. I've called thee, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Don't you want him more than with you? Don't you want him in you? Glorify with a glorious time. You've got a work to do on the earth. You've got to finish that work. You've got to glorify your Father. You've got to finish your work. You're going to finish your work. The devil has been trying to tell some of you that he's going to kill you, or you're going to die, or that there's this, that, and the other about it all. And I want to tell you that Jesus said, I'm authorized to give eternal life. And this is his glory. Amen. Amen. And you're going to come into this. I've created you for my glory, he says. All right, come on. Acts chapter 2. Come on, let's all get in this room. Praise, because let's get all together here. Cuddle up close now. Don't sit out there on a limb. Come on in here. You've not got any disease we're going to catch, and we've got none that you're going to catch. Come on in here. Amen. Why, even old Wesley said, come, what was that marvelous hymn? Thieves, harlots, drunkards, publicans. Come on, all of you come in here. He says, amen. We can all come in here. And there isn't one of us in this room but that's a thief. Unless we've let God be glorified in us. We're all thieves. We're all showing the nature of our first fallen parent. All a lot of us. We're all drunkards, harlots, thieves, sneaks, rotters. All a lot of us. Unless we're allowing that blessed one to come and be glorified in us as he wants to be. We're all a lot of perverts, if this isn't right. We're perverting the cause of life and the reason for existence on the earth. And God wants to bring us into this glory, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, praise God that it's fully come. Ha, ha, ha. Good. There was nothing half-hearted when God started on the day of Pentecost. It wasn't just a false dawn or something like that. And praise God, it wasn't the sunset. They were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began, I'm glad they didn't finish, they began. That's right. You see, when you read the Acts of the Apostles, it says, the former treatise, O Theophilus, have I written unto you of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. I said to be, because Norman likes preaching on this text. I think he's wondering what I'm going to say. Of course, he might want to preach on it tonight. I don't know. You see, and I want to tell you that in the Acts of the Apostles, he began to do some more things too. They all began, oh glory. Everybody likes to stand up and say, it's finished, it's finished, it's finished. I want to tell you that most has only just begun. I said most. Oh, some things are finished, glory to God. They're finished. But I tell you, the best has only begun. They all began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Oh, glory. The Spirit gave them utterance. It was Spirit utterance. They came out of mind utterance. They came out of flesh and body and utterance. They came out of Spirit utterance. Their spirits began to speak by the Spirit. Oh, they come vitally alive in a realm that they'd never known before. Amen. They began to utter to God. Jesus was glorifying. He was glorifying in heaven. And now he was being glorified in them. Oh, they were changed into glory. To go on to greater glories as God fulfilled his blessed promise through Jesus Christ in their hearts and in their lives. The whole place was filled with the Spirit of the living God. Jesus had been glorified. Glorified. This is the theme on Peter's lips when you get to the third chapter. Why are you marveling about this? God has glorified his Son. God has glorified his Son. And all the glory of the Father as he brought his precious Son, the greatest promise from earth the Father had ever received. A man coming up, having been slain on a cross, a man coming up to him from death. Amen. Oh. Amen. Glorify me with yourself, Father. You're going to be glorified too. We're both going to be glorified. Amen. Oh, the glory of the Father. Oh, the glory of the Son. And oh, the glory of those men in that upper room and those women too. As they were engulfed in this glory of God that was too great for him to hold unto himself. And poured it out upon these men and women until their enraptured souls sprang to life in a realm of love and power and purity and life and ministry. Oh, God, this is what he's wanting to do for you. This is what he's wanting to do for you. He's wanting to glorify you. You'll be wonderful when you're glorified. You'll be absolutely wonderful, beyond degree, immeasurably. Glorious, glorious, glorious. All right. He's speaking to all the abstract things that you talk about, like fears. What's fear? That's abstract. Amen. He's talking to all these bondages. What's bondage? It's abstract. It's real enough in the spirit. All abstract things are spiritual things in this realm. Keep that clear. All abstract things are mental things. in this great realm. He's speaking to the poles of you, the two opposites. And he's moving in your life, and he's going to do marvelous things. And he'll set your world spinning on its axis. Glory to God. And on the two paradoxical opposites of your life, you'll live under the glory of God. You'll live under him. A combination of God with man through the sweet cleansings of the blood of Jesus Christ and the demolition of old Adam on the cross. And the destruction of the devil's powers and his invisible fingers intruding into all the private parts of your being, in your inner spiritual realm, and interfering with your mental processes and breaking down the souls of you and shaming you and bringing you to corruption and hating yourself for the poison of the deadly adder of Eden in your life. God is here to bring you unto the ultimate, the man in the flesh, Christ Jesus. That's what he's here for, to exalt you, to glorify you, to set you free, to set your feet dancing, your heart palpitating with a new joy, your mind thrilled with a glorious new consciousness. He's here to drive out of you the last vestiges of the fall. He's here to bring you unto the glory of the bosom of the Father, hugging his Son into his heart and saying, "You're mine. You're mine. You're mine." Oh, the rapture. Oh, the breakdown of all the devil's strongholds. Oh, the carrying away of the mountains into the sea. The sea of God's refusal to remember anything. That you might know a clearing of your mind. An absolute rendition to God. The true song of the heart of Jesus. A man glorified. Your hour's come, friend. Your hour's come. Let's pray. Let the Holy Ghost have you. Why not be glorified? Out of your miseries. Out of your shortcomings. Out of your breakdowns. Out of your inabilities. Out of your nerves. Hallelujah. Out of your prejudices, out of your littleness, into the heart of God. I've called thee by thy name, thou art mine. Oh God, praise him. Praise him. Stop poring and pondering over your estate. Let the Lord come and get hold of you. Amen. Amen. He's never yet been born that could save himself. Jesus never did. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. That's the day of release. It's the day of fullness. It's the day of glory. Amen. It's the day of inward change. Hallelujah. Glory, man. Glorify your Lord. It's the day of restitution. It's the day of rehabilitation. Hallelujah. It's the day of all things. God is with us. Praise him. praise him.